And I see you're recording too. Awesome.
Hey, yeah, it's a recording on my side. Here we go.
Excellent. Yeah, awesome. Well, hey, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to the first ever Purchase Optimized podcast with me. I'm Dara Denny and Savannah Sanchez. We have been talking about doing a podcast for months now, and we finally decided to kick it off and really just, you know, be able to have genuine conversations more about our industry, about media buying, about paid social creative strategy, in a way that is super actionable for people that follow us on Twitter or on YouTube. So really, like, we want to use this podcast as an extension of those channels and just another way to provide value to the people that follow us. So we are, I don't know, whatever. Savannah, how about you go ahead and give yourself an intro, and then I will do an intro for me.
Sounds great. Hey, everybody. My name is Savannah Sanchez, and my business is The Social Savannah. I work with a number of e-commerce brands on their paid social ad creatives, mostly focusing on TikTok. I work with brands such as BlendJet, Sugar Bear Hair, Casely, just to name a few. And right now, my passion is really figuring out what creatives are working well on TikTok, especially since TikTok is the hottest and best channel, in my opinion, which I'm sure we'll get into at some point. And also because we know that creatives is really what drives performance now, like post iOS 14. So I'm super excited to be here today. I look at Dara as like the industry leader of knowing all things paid social related. So I'm just really excited to see where these conversations go.
Yeah, I'm super excited too. Savannah is someone that I've looked up into in the industry for years now, especially on the UGC creative front. So I'm really excited to have these conversations in real time. And Savannah gave an intro. I'll do a really quick intro. My name is Dara Denny, and I am the director of performance creative at the agency Thesis Testing, where I essentially oversee three different creative teams now. And this is actually a new role for me, which many people don't really know about. I used to be a director of growth, where I would work directly with direct-to-consumer brands that are spending anywhere from $250,000 to $2 million per month in their paid social advertising. So brands like Daily Harvest, Alex Healing, Daily Gem, Wandering Bear. Wandering Bear is actually one of your current clients now, Savannah, which is very common in our industry. We always tend to end up working with the same people, which is really awesome. Always. Yep. But it's, you know, my change into this role actually came as a response to how important creative started becoming for not only the industry, not only for my agency Thesis, but also the overall industry. And it's just something that I started doubling down on a lot on my team. And there was an opportunity for me to focus on that more for the overall agency, which is really cool. So at Thesis, I oversee the entire post-production team. So we have a team of about 15 video editors and graphic designers. I oversee that team. I also oversee the UGC creator division, where we partner with creators to create TikTok and UGC creative for our brands. And then I also oversee the studio division. So we do have a full-time studio team located in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, where we create high-end studio or on-site content for our clients. So every single day is super different for me. We still work with mostly direct-to-consumer brands, lots of brands in the health and wellness space, lots of food and CPG brands, and more lots of telemedicine brands as well. So yeah, really excited to kick off today's episode, which is going to be about something that Savannah and I are really passionate about, which is really what is working today on Facebook ads and TikTok ads, specifically as it relates to creative. Something Savannah said earlier is that, you know, creative is the most important thing to getting your brand to scale on these platforms. And that's definitely something we see over at Thesis. So I'd like to kick it over to Savannah, actually, to learn a little bit more about what's working on the TikTok side of things, because TikTok is something that at Thesis we're just now starting to get a hold of. But I find myself referring to a lot of what you say in your Twitter and in your YouTube to get started on certain strategies. So really excited to hear more of what's working for you on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm super stoked to talk about TikTok creatives. I think one thing I wanted to mention too, the name of our podcast, we decided on Purchase Optimized. And the reason for that being everything we are going to talk about in this podcast is about like, how are we going to drive conversions for e-commerce brands? And one thing in, as you were talking, it was reminding me about our journey where we both started. We're both media buyers at heart. When we started posting on YouTube and Twitter, everything we posted was about like account structure, media buying strategies. And that back in the day, what I'm saying, like back in the day, like 2 years ago, that's what would really move the needle. Like CBO, different bidding strategies that you're doing, just ways you were setting it up, duplicating your ad set. And that's where we both really started, because that's what used to make the biggest difference, was like consolidating your account, adopting the Power Five. But really, like, what Dar and I chase isn't really like brand awareness or anything like that. Everything we talk about and all the tips we give is all about like what's going to ultimately lead to more purchases on your website. Back in the day, it used to be more tactical with the media buying side, things you can do. We're now, very apparently through what Dar and I are doing now, it's really down to the creatives. And same with TikTok. Like nothing special about TikTok than Facebook. Like the setup is very similar in terms of your targeting broad audiences. You're keeping it consolidated. Like when people take my TikTok course, like I think they're surprised to learn like the advice I'm giving on the setup is like not there's no secret sauce to it. It's very broad and keeping things as simple as possible. And by doing that, it allows you to focus on like the really important creative elements. I always try to think like as a brand owner or media buyer, you only have so much time in your day. So when you're thinking about your day, you don't want to be spending all of your day tinkering in your TikTok ad account, launching new audiences, if that's not what's going to move the needle.
Yeah.
Or if you could spend your whole day developing a new creative, that can actually really move the needle for your brand.
Exactly. I actually remember when I was a founder and I first started getting on Facebook ads, that was actually how I first started, like got started on the platform. I was a founder. And I remember the kind of questions I had were like, how many interests do I keep in an ad set? What percentage of like lookalikes do I use? And I still get a lot of these questions. And every time I get them, I'm like, no, like these are the wrong questions. So I definitely want to underscore how if you instead shift your mindset to thinking about what type of creatives your audience already loves and what kind of content they're already ingesting on TikTok or on Instagram and the creators that they follow, that's going to be a much better use of your time because you're going to learn how to develop content that actually speaks to them. And when you can speak to them, you can get them to buy. There is no secret targeting hack or secret account setup hack that is going to bypass that need for creative.
100%. So here's some hacks for creatives. because I know you guys are all here for some hacks. I would say it all comes down to thinking about like, what is the experience of someone on TikTok and what are they doing? Of course, they're going to TikTok to be entertained, to scroll through videos and to waste some time. So the number one thing that people don't want is an ad. People hate advertising. We're bombarded by ads 24/7. So the first key is being sneaky. You have to look like a TikTok. When someone sees your ad for the first 3 seconds, they need to not distinguish if they're watching just a regular video on your For You page or if this is an ad. So where I see businesses fail is I take what was working well on Instagram stories or Snapchat, which has like animations and text flying through, and instantly people swipe away, like, oh, it's an ad. And what's great about TikTok is because there's a For You page, people aren't like, they're not expecting to see their friends or like influencers all the time. Like you're always seeing new faces when you're going through your For You page. So it's not unusual to see someone like starting to talk to a camera you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And there's only a little tiny sponsored tag in the caption. And that's not what people aren't staring at the caption when they're going through TikTok. They're going to be first looking at the face or the product that's in frame. And first 3 seconds, they need to not know it's an ad. It needs to blend in with all the other content there, which usually means filmed on iPhone, like selfie style, utilizing TikTok texts and anything that looks like it would be organic to the platform. That's where brands usually give up on TikTok, is when they just take their Instagram stories and run it on TikTok and they're like, oh, people keep swiping away. So that's number one. I think the best comments I've gotten on my ads were like, someone was like, I'm tired of getting these ads that don't look like ads.
And yes. I'm
like, yes. That's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah. And I think that actually brings up a really good point too, is I've actually had lots of conversations with brands where they'll be like, but I see really highly elevated content on TikTok when I'm on the platform, or I see really big brands like Subway or Dior still using the same type of content they're using on stories. And what's actually really fascinating about this is you can look inside of top ads and see that these type of ads are actually being optimized for reach or for brand awareness. They are not going after purchases. So if you're really looking to make a direct response action, aka a click or a purchase to your website, you really need to, number one, increase the viewer, like the amount of time that people are actually viewing that ad, which is you have to disguise yourself as a TikTok, as Savannah said. But I very often hear that like brand owners are seeing like highly elevated content on TikTok, but it's a totally different game. And again, this is Purchase Optimized Podcast. We're all about going after the direct response and those purchases with our advertising content.
Totally. That's such a great point. And I think it's such a underutilized resource is looking up the TikTok top ads. If you Google TikTok top ads, it should be the first result. It's from TikTok. It's a library that has all of the brands that are running ads on TikTok. And you can even sort by industry, which ones have the highest watch time. It's so transparent. And it's very interesting when you do choose that, you can choose like the filters of people who are optimizing for conversions. You'll see that all of the creatives are more UGC style, look like TikToks, and the more branded ones are the ones that are optimizing for brand awareness. So that is so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you look through top ads, you're definitely going to see a lot of Savannah's creations. Cause every time I go through there, I feel like I'm seeing a lot of your ads pop up, which is cool. It's like, you know, you get to see, like, it's like the downside of like looking on like Facebook ads library is really the only indicator that we have that it's been working is how long it's been running. And half the time that's not even accurate. I can't tell you how many times, like I've had brand owners look at their own Facebook ads library and they're like, I thought you turned this ad off. And I was like, I have.
Like
I
from
swear.
Black Friday.
But you know, it's really that's just the cool thing about top ads for TikTok is like they are actually telling you, hey, these are the ones that are performing best for actual conversions, which is really cool. So there's actually, I feel like, a lot more that you can learn by digesting and recreating the type of content that's in top ads.
Totally.
And I think really for TikTok too, the thing that's most important, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, is the hook. So I want to hear like some of the hooks that you and your creators have been using recently. Cause I feel like every time you start posting new content on your Twitter, I'm always taking a look to see what type of hook you're using and screenshotting it and then sending it on my Slack channels to my team. Like, have we done this? Should we try this? Like, what's working now for hooks?
Yeah, I have an entire list of hooks just waiting to be used. Like I have it up right now. There's like literally 50 of them. The hook is the most important thing with a TikTok ad. Besides looking native and making sure that it doesn't look like an ad, you'll notice when you go to the top ads library that every ad has a hook. And I'll just quickly go through some of my favorites that have been working really well. TikTok made me buy it, I think is the best hook of all time. I have tried it across so many different e-commerce brands where we say, thanks TikTok, made me buy part 54. I found this really cool blender on TikTok and I had to try it and here it is. That hook, for some reason, I think just calling out the word TikTok makes people want to stay and also just adds that social proof of, I found it on TikTok, here's my real experience unboxing it and this is why I love it so much. So when I'm starting with a new client on TikTok, I always go back to these hooks that I know are the best performers and things TikTok made me buy is one I just hammer. And you know, maybe one day it's not going to work anymore, but I will say I've been using this hook for the last 6 months and it just continues to be a top performer. So I'm going to keep squeezing all the life I can out of things TikTok made me buy. Other ones that are just like, I have like 10 that I would say are, I consider like the top performer ones. Like every ad account needs these. Yeah. What I ordered versus what I got, kind of similar.
Oh, we've used that one. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good, that's a goodie. That's a good like website to life transition one.
Yes. People love seeing what it looks like on your website and then showing it in real life. That's just so eye-catching in the first few seconds. And that's really what people are wondering when they're online shopping. They're like, okay, I see how it looks on the website, but what does it look like in real life? Is this a piece of crap? Is this some Alibaba drop shipping stuff? Or is this like a legit product?
Yeah.
So it just adds social proof.
I think that's why people really like unboxings too, because if they already have some sort of sense of like what your product is and then they see what the actual like delivery and like unveiling of the product is, it's like opening up a present. Isn't that like what we're doing as adults ordering from these D2C brands? It's just like presents for ourselves.
It's like Christmas. And so I think there's the psychology aspect of it. Like when I'm watching an unboxing video on TikTok, even though I know it's an ad, I still watch to the end. Like I want to see what it looks like unwrapped. Like opening the box. I'm not just going to scroll away just halfway through opening the box. I'm like, I've gotten this far. What does it look
right,
like?
Right. I know.
Every time if I have to watch it to the end.
Yeah.
So any other ones I love, things in my apartment that just make sense. Things in my bathroom that just make sense. Things in my kitchen that just make sense. Why I stopped buying this and do this instead. Things I found on the internet that I can no longer live without. Like I said, I have like 40. So maybe every podcast I'll like drop like five that are performing best. But those are like my top ones when people are like, I need new TikTok creatives. I'm like, okay, let's hammer out these hooks because these are the ones that are tried and true, and then go from there.
Yeah, I think what's cool about those too is like I see just creators who don't even use affiliate links, like talking about that kind of stuff on their TikToks. And I mean, I think it also stems from like the YouTubers who are like, here's my Amazon list. Like, here are the things, like people actually love buying things. Like I'm definitely one of those people. And I feel like people just don't want to have their money wasted. And this idea of an ad is just kind of like an ultimate roundup of sorts.
Totally. People don't want to be like taken advantage of. Like there's so many online scams and crappy products out there. Like they want to see like a real person. That's what's great about TikTok. Like it's not celebrities. It's your girl next door who just got a new razor and is going to tell you all about it.
Yes.
And that's what people buy from people. That's why like these studio ads don't do as well on TikTok because they don't look genuine. Like I want to see like some girl in her bathroom, like shaving her leg. Like someone that I can relate to. And so I think that's what's so special about TikTok is that like the more organic and like gritty it looks, the more relatable that person is, the better the ad's going to turn out. I think that's why sometimes on TikTok, like if you have if you're sending products to like an influencer who's not used to talking like genuinely in front of the camera and not sharing that experience, it's going to seem really fake. And TikTok can smell those in the comment section on TikTok. People can smell a fake.
Ruthless.
It will tear you apart.
That's a big challenge that we've had working with influencers to like create this type of TikTok style content. If they're not familiar with the platform, like we've definitely struggled a bit taking like actors or UGC creators and like trying to make them TikTok creators. It's definitely a struggle and requires tons of edits and like tone management, I'd say, because people can sniff out and like people who aren't as authentic really quickly on the platform. Would you say that a lot of these hooks too are also working on Facebook then?
Yeah, a lot of my clients will take the same ads we're running on TikTok and running on Facebook and Instagram. Also just because it looks like a native TikTok, it does work really well on Instagram, especially in reels and stories. And one thing a lot of my clients are utilizing are whitelisting. So what that means is that when someone is seeing the ad, it looks like it's from the influencer profile. Like it says like it's from Savannah Sanchez as like the user, and then it has the ad instead of it from the brand. So that's just another thing that clients are testing and seeing a lot of success with is going through the creator, the influencer's profile who's starring in the video. It's like coming from their profile as an ad as opposed to the brand.
Yeah. And are you talking about that for like Facebook and Instagram or for TikTok, which are called Spark ads?
I'm seeing it work better on Facebook and Instagram. Spark ads on TikTok, which is the same concept of the ad is coming from the influencer's profile instead of the brand. Well, from a purchase optimized perspective, in my ad accounts, usually the Spark ads don't perform as well as from the brand account, which is so weird to me because you would think that if coming from the creator account, like ads, that social proof, I don't know if it's the way that it's being treated in the auction any differently in terms of like a CPM perspective, but I'll take this, I'll test the same creative. I'll take the creative and run it from the brand profile, and I'll take the exact same creative and have the influencer post it, and we'll test the ad from her profile. And pretty much every time it performs better from the brand profile. I don't know if you've seen the same, but I find that to be pretty odd.
I have actually started seeing the shift more recently. I'd say for like the last, like since the beginning of this year, we had lots of traction coming out of Spark ads, but really over the last 2 months, we've seen them becoming less and less effective. So I think you're right. There's definitely something like at play here, but I'm not really quite sure what it is. I wonder too, if there's like a bigger shift just for users that they're now starting to like look at TikTok as a place to discover more products, and like they're able to like check out the brand a little bit more quickly, which is like able to be better attributed to TikTok and like, you know, using these other data platforms. I'm not sure, but I've definitely seen like Spark ads not performing nearly as well over the last like 1 to 2 months.
That's interesting. I wonder if that's the reason why. But yeah, I've seen the same. Like whitelisting the creator's account on Facebook and Instagram, still doing good. TikTok, not so much. Speaking of Facebook and Instagram, you tweeted something a bit controversial. You said that UGC is not life, which really, you know, stabbed
you
me
did
in
not
the heart
comment. Yeah.
What do you mean by that? Of course, UGC is life.
So what I've noticed on a lot of our Facebook, like on our Facebook ads accounts, especially the ones that were using purely UGC, they hadn't been getting the same type of traction as they had really like over the last, I'd say, quarter. And we kept on really like, you know, we kept on creating the same type of user-generated content or like trying a lot of TikTok strategies. And of course, the TikTok strategies were the ones where it'd be pretty interesting and then it would die out. And we decided to start trying a little bit more elevated content. And a big part of this was just purely because we had the bandwidth. Like we have an entire studio team in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Like why not try and use it? So I'd say about, you know, within the last quarter, we started testing out a lot more elevated content and moving slightly away from UGC content, or even taking creators, but putting them like under studio lights and using a lot more like produced elevated creative. And what's interesting is we started seeing that actually, you know, lasting longer than a lot of our UGC creative. And there's a lot of factors that could be at play here, right? Like we could have been using the wrong like UGC creators that like weren't speaking correctly to the brand. We could have been using the wrong types of UGC or TikTok strategies for Facebook and Instagram. But we noticed that for a few of our clients, when we would use this more like elevated content, it lasted longer. Like it didn't succumb as quickly to creative fatigue. And one of the strategies that we noticed working really well across the board were these elevated founder story ads. And essentially what this is it's taking the founder and the founder story and pretty much creating a huge studio shoot around it that involves a lot of high-end B-roll that shows the mechanics or the how-to of the product, and also has a really big segment for a founder-style interview. And we've seen these type of you know, highly elevated assets perform pretty well across the board for several of our clients, which is really interesting and goes in direct contrast to a lot of the UGC that we had tested for them. And what's interesting is for many of these clients too, we actually tested doing like UGC lo-fi founder story ads versus the more like highly produced ones. And we tended to find that the more the bigger production value shoots performed better. Again, there could be many reasons for this, but we've done a few direct comparisons where we used like lo-fi B-roll content and lo-fi interview content in the same way and just mashed it up to see what would work better. And a few, I'd say about like 70% of the time we were seeing the high-end studio content doing really well. So really the way that we now approach a lot of these founders ads is number one, you know, directly coming up with hooks that are based on top performers across the account and learnings from other ads. So a few hooks that we know like always work for these founder ads are things like, hi, my name is X, I'm founder of X, which is a hook that I often thought would not work because I often am like, why do people care what your name is? And why do people care that you're the founder of this ad? But there is something at play here that seems that people actually are interested in people who start businesses and who like have a personal stake in this ad that they're creating. I guess there might be something psychological at play here. And you know, we also take other hooks that we know have worked in like with our clients, like based on their UGC content and whatnot, and just make hi-fi versions of it. And in addition to that, we also create a huge interview segment that really digs at the reasons why behind the brand. So we often go through like a list of FAQs that people often have about the brand and let the founder actually answer them. We often go through common myths or common misconceptions that people have about the brand or the industry and let the founder speak directly to that. And then we also have several questions that attack the question, why did you start the brand? Like, what is that personal story behind it? And we've been able to find that we've been able to get a lot of like, number one, just really interesting stories that serve as really awesome hooks. We just did a founder shoot with one of our clients that works in the supplement space. And she had this amazing hook that was a story about her wedding day where she actually bled on her wedding dress. She got her period just like completely randomly. And her brand is Elix Healing. It's all about helping women like manage their painful menstrual symptoms. And during her wedding, because she had so much stress leading up to it, she just randomly started her period and bled all over her wedding dress. And we used that opening hook of, I bled all over my wedding dress. I'm not
That's
kidding.
That's a cool stopper.
Yeah, no, we ran it on Instagram and we did like automatic placements and reels only. Across the board, we were seeing hook rates from 40 to 60%, like across all impressions, which is insane. So like 40 to 60%. Yeah. So
I don't know what hook rate is.
Oh, so for hook rate, that's going to be like the percentage of all impressions that watched the first 3 seconds of an ad.
That's so insane. 40 to 60%.
Yeah. Wow. So it was like 40% on automatic placements, but for reels, like 60% of all people that got delivered that ad stopped and watched that hook, which was amazing. Damn. And what we've often found for things like hook rate is if you can increase your hook rate, you're likely going to increase your conversion rate. And in this case, for like this specific ad, this definitely, you know, it was able to really like chop CPAs in half pretty much overnight. And it was like, it's still like a top performer on the ad account. So this type of founder style ad is really something that we're doubling down on as an offering and starting to do a lot more. And I think too, it's like, it's not a hard sell, right? Like, yes, I'm confident that it's going to perform on Facebook and Instagram. We're still like starting tests on TikTok. So to be determined on how that actually performs on there, probably not, because it's like produced in a studio. But yeah, you're shaking your head now. But number two,
heard me wrong.
Yeah, I challenge accepted. But number two, you know, these founder ads also serve like a larger purpose. Like this particular founder is going to be using it to like help for VC funding. And then we also have like other brands that are going to be using it for their landing pages or for other content, like across the board, instead of just for paid social. So I think it's like also, as you know, someone who, you know, you're an agency owner and I am like working for an agency, like trying to find value in just outside of the immediate purchase. So I know this is Purchase Optimized podcast, but like people, brands still want these like sexy, overly produced content. And, you know, sometimes I just find that they don't have the same value in like this in UGC and creators over and over again. So we're like trying to supplement that. And with the founder story ad, we think we found a way that like has a really, you can actually get really good performance out of it. You can get really good purchases out of it, but there is sort of a longer term inherent value as seen by the brand, which is just like, it's been a good retention play for us, I'd say, as like a creative agency.
That is amazing. I've seen some really great founder ads on Facebook and Instagram lately, maybe done by you. But I completely agree. It's like, people want to buy from people and understand the founder's story, and just getting the founder in front of a camera and asking them questions about why they started it, their brands, and the fact that you were able to like get that one line of like, I bled on my wedding dress, and that just sparked all this entire like segment of like now ads, like all using that hook. I think that is so important and something that every brand should be doing. And I think that, I don't know if you've done this already, but it sounds like you shot this in a studio. I would say for TikTok, I would have that founder just hold up her phone and
say the same thing. Yeah.
Say, I bled on my wedding dress on my wedding day, and then go and then make a TikTok that goes through that story. I think that goes back to your point of like, when you have a good hook or a good ad script, like you can repurpose that over and over and over again, whether it's using different clips or slightly switching up the timeline. Or in this case, you have your studio version. Now you're going to have your TikTok version where someone's talking selfie style. I think one thing that brands and agencies like myself included sometimes get wrong is we're always trying to try new ideas, and we see other brands doing all these cool things. We want to copy them, but sometimes the best thing to do is just double down on what's working. Like, it sounds like you can ride on this I bled on my wedding dress thing maybe for months or years to come.
Yeah.
Of different versions of it. Like, don't reinvent the wheel every week when you're coming up with creatives. Like, go to your tried and true and double down on what's working. Don't try to get a brand new winner every time.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say a big part of our work at Thesis is just iterating on what we know works. So we divide all of our creative strategy into two buckets of creative: either net new, so brand new strategies, brand new things we want to test that haven't been tested before, and iterations based on what we know best. And I'd say, you know, 50% of the time we're doing net new, 50% of the time we're doing iterations. So if you feel like you're going too far into always reinventing the wheel, that's definitely a sign to take a step back, think about what's been working for you, and think about how you can build from those learnings instead of just recreating the wheel every single time. We actually came back to that exact same founder this week with a new iteration on those ads, using the same hook with some different types of imagery. I'm really excited to get those launched this week. And she actually just had like amazing one-liners like throughout this whole interview. And I wonder too, if it was just like, we would have never gotten that content from her unless like we sat down with her for like 2 hours in a studio, you know. It's also about figuring out how to get the best content from yourself if you're a founder, or from your brand, and like really thinking about how to like, you know, stimulate that authenticity. So, you know, could it be the studio production? Probably not, but it was the way that we were able to get that story, which is the most important. So we are almost at 34 minutes, Savannah.
What a bunch of value packed into those 34 minutes. I'm going to just double down on these founder story ads. I need to get some of my clients at a studio apparently to shoot some of these, because that's just a brilliant idea. I have one last question to kind of round off this topic. in your ad accounts, what would you say is like the appropriate split of like UGC versus studio, like production versus stills, like still images? Like, is there like a percentage that you would recommend like as an account? And I know that everyone's different and some are going to perform better than others on their accounts. So with those in mind.
Yeah. Like my throwaway obvious answer is going to be like, every brand's different. I would say the only like red flag that I have either way is like if I see something has never been tested before and there's no data around it. I think all brands are going to lead either more UGC heavy or more image heavy or more like elevated content heavy, like no matter what, just because they've trained the algorithm to perform best or deliver best based on those assets. Like, that's just my personal opinion, but
oh, so true. Yeah. An account like, that's only had UGC throw still in there. The algorithm's like, no, we like UGC. That's what all the customers
like, who are you going to deliver? Who are you going to deliver that to? Like, so true. They have no idea. I think variety tends to be best, especially if you're scaling rapidly. And if you can get certain wins out of images and certain wins out of UGC and wins out of like more elevated content, like, and you have like consistent learnings from all of those buckets, you're probably in a pretty good position to scale. But like percentage wise, you know, just make sure you're testing, you've tested it and like, you know, but also don't be dumb about it. Like if you consistently find one thing is just like not working, hire someone else that's probably better at it than you, because you might just be doing it really wrong. Like if you just, like whenever I hear like that's I hear so a lot true. From brands like UGC doesn't work for my brand, and I'm like, yeah, I don't believe that. Yeah, yeah, like
this is crap. Of course it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, like the strategy is wrong here.
Yeah, and the stills don't work. It's like, okay, like are we just throwing out images forever?
Yeah, yeah. You know. It's like hard for me to say, it's like for people that don't intimately know the industry, but there's a million different strategies for UGC. There's a million different strategies for images and elevated creative. And that's where you and I like love to play. And that's like why we started this podcast, so we can shed more light on like how to make more positive choices when it comes to like choosing out which creatives you're going to make next for your brand. But it's by no means easy. So, you know, just do your best, I guess, and start conversations with people on Twitter. Do your best. Think about creatives. Don't think about targeting.
Yes. It's creatives over targeting 24/7. Let the creatives be your targeting.
Yeah, exactly. I had a final anecdote just because I do this all day, every day.
Let's hear it.
I'm getting ready to work with a new client where we're going to be doing studio, UGC, and post-production. So just like the whole creative strategy for them. And they were talking to their media buying agency about how to properly target van lifers or digital nomads. And I'm like, I like jumped in on the conversation so hot. And I was like, we're not going to do any targeting. We're just going to develop like a few assets that can like speak to this, because like, even when you use targeting on like these kind of platforms, it's just going to be such a quick burnout. And then you're going to be left at square one. You're going to think, oh, like this subset of audience doesn't work, when really like you're like making the algorithm work too hard to find people, when really you should be like being a good marketer and convincing like the broader public of like your value, instead of just like, you know, trying to target your way into this.
Totally. Yeah,
you know,
I think that could be like a whole nother hour. I totally agree. Like the way that I run my ad accounts is, but whether you have a small budget or a big budget, it really doesn't matter. Like I'm very broad, like we're targeting females 18 plus for makeup, let's just say. And then each creative is going to speak to a different portion of the audience. Maybe some creatives, the ladies are older, some are younger, some are UGC, some are not. So, but it's all in the broad targeting, and Facebook will find the right people for that creative. They will analyze the creative. They will test it on a small subset of users and realize, okay, these type of people are clicking. Therefore, we're going to deliver it more similar people. We're going to deliver it to people who are similar to those who've already clicked or purchased. So let the machine learning do the targeting. It's way smarter than me like sitting there thinking like, oh, I'm going to target the bike interest and then Oh, I have a biking background of that.
2017 media buying strategies.
Coming up with lists of audiences. You see, now you don't have to waste your time. It's all about figuring out what's the best use of your time. Sounds like making some founder story ads is going to be a great use of your time because you can use it for your website, your Instagram, funding, your ads. So, and then for TikTok, we're just making UGCs with those five hooks I gave you. And that's it. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. TikTok made me buy it. TikTok made us create a podcast.
Just there kidding. You go.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this first episode of Purchase Optimized Podcast. You will.